I would like to share a few thoughts about confidence in times of uncertainty and confidence in places of uncertainty. Confidence in changing circumstances, confidence in challenging circumstances, confidence in confusing circumstances, and confidence in crippling circumstances. Now, it may sound from that list as though we're going to be here until tomorrow. I can assure you we're not. But if you have your Bibles, would you please turn to Genesis chapter 34 from verse 25. Genesis chapter 34 from verse 25. Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, that the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, their oxen, and their donkeys, what was in the city and what was in the field, and all their wealth, all their little ones, and their wives, they took captive. And they plundered even all that was in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I." But they said, "Should he treat our sister like a harlot?" And then chapter 35, verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. The life of Jacob seems to be characterized by trouble. Everywhere Jacob turns, there's some conflict, there's some confusion, there's some chaos. Things are never straightforward when it comes to Jacob. There's always some uncertainty. There's always some challenging circumstance, some confusing circumstance, some crippling circumstance. And yet this is the man who in Genesis chapter 28, we see having an encounter with God. And I think I've spoken about that encounter that Jacob had with God as a young man stepping out into the wilderness of life, unprepared for all that life was about to throw at him. And we see many young men in our world today who have been thrown out. And I use that word carefully. Thrown out into the wilderness of life, into the jungle of life, seemingly unprepared for all that life has to throw at them. And when we look at Genesis chapter 28, we read about this young man, Jacob, fleeing from home as a result of that unresolved conflict within the home. That conflict which his mother and father had failed to resolve. A conflict which had then manifested itself in the life of these twin brothers, Jacob and Esau. A conflict which had resulted in mother conspiring with son to deceive father, to take away from brother something which brother had spent his life up till then expecting. And in Genesis 28, we see this young man in the wilderness of life, having an encounter with Almighty God. And could I please invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 28 at verse 10. Genesis chapter 28 verse 10, and it reads as follows. It says, Jacob went from Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came upon a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be named. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." I love that verse. He says, "Behold, I am." This is God speaking. "I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." The Bible says that then Jacob awoke from his sleep. And maybe he was thinking to himself that that dinner that he had the night before might have been a bit too heavy. And so he was having a strange dream. But no, this was an encounter with heaven. And he saw a ladder in the dream, and angels ascending and angels descending. And in that dream of the night, God spoke to him and he said, "Look, Jacob." He said, "I know where you are. I know where you have been, where you are coming from, and where you are going. And I want to give you this assurance, Jacob. Wherever you go, my presence goes with you. And whatever you do and wherever you are, there I will be with you. And I will bring you back to this place." And God was saying that, "Jacob, I know your beginning from your end, your end from your beginning, and I know all that lies in between." And Jacob wakes up and he's looking around him, and he can't see the ladder anymore, and he can't see the angels anymore, and he can't see God at the top of the ladder anymore. But he's thinking to himself, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And it says that he was afraid. And he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven." And the Bible says that Jacob rose early in the morning and he took the stone that he had used as his pillow. It says that he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Fast forward to Genesis chapter 34, the passage that we started off with. Many years have passed since Jacob has that initial meeting with God. Many things have happened. Much water has passed under that proverbial bridge. And here we see Jacob in one of many situations where Jacob is fearing for his life. The context of this story is that Jacob's only daughter, Dinah, had been raped by Shechem. And her brothers, Simeon and Levi, had tricked the men of the city into getting themselves circumcised. And while they were in that state, in that medical state, Simeon and Levi had set upon the men of the town and had murdered everyone. And so here is Jacob in this challenging circumstance, in a confusing circumstance, in what some may think is a crippling circumstance. His sons have been charged with murder, or they've committed murder, and maybe they're about to face trial, so they're going to end up in the crown court. And Jacob is saying that I am a stranger in the land, and you have made me obnoxious by your actions in the sight of the people. We are few in number. They are many. They are stronger than us. They are greater than us. What have you visited upon me by your actions, my children? That is one of the circumstances, one of the situations that Jacob found himself in. And you see, these stories are recorded for us to see and to understand that the heroes of our faith didn't always have it easy. And it wasn't always a bed of roses for them. I shudder to think of what it must be like as a father to have two sons who have gone out and committed this heinous crime of murder. And not just one murder, this is multiple murder. And Jacob is, as a parent, having to contain and to contend with these wayward children. Hello, parents. And not only does he have two sons who have committed murder, he has a daughter who has been raped. So on the one hand, he is the father of a victim, and on the other hand, he is the father of the accused. And so he's there. Maybe he has to go and give evidence as the father of a victim. And maybe he has to go and give evidence as the father of the accused. But he is carrying this emotional weight. And this is the same man who God had promised that he would be with in his going out and in his coming in. And there are moments in life like that when God seems very far away. When dark clouds gather and it seems as though we are hemmed in. It's in those moments of challenge. It's in those moments of crisis. It's in those moments of chaos and confusion. It's in those times when the circumstances of life try to cripple us. That we need to have confidence in God. I'm not for one moment suggesting that it is easy. Because you see, sometimes in those moments of crisis and conflict and confusion, God may seem very distant and very far away. But you see, the ladder that Jacob saw in the dream, in Genesis chapter 28, that ladder, on which the angels were ascending and descending. That ladder wasn't in any particular geographic location. It was God saying that my presence is with you. And wherever you go, Jacob, that ladder, which symbolizes an access into my presence, goes with you. And the angels that you see ascending and descending, those angels of goodness and mercy, those angels too accompany you. Listen, whether you're in the air, flying from here to Africa, whether you're on land, traveling from here to Bradford or wherever it is you're going, whether you are on the sea, your husband's taking you on the cruise, hint, hint, wherever you are, whatever it is you're doing, God says that my presence and access to my presence goes with you. And you see, with that access to the presence of God comes a certain confidence. That in times of uncertainty, in places of uncertainty, in situations which trouble our mind. And here we see a man who was troubled in his mind. You would be, wouldn't you? Your daughter has been the victim of a crime. Your sons have committed a crime. And as a father, he was troubled in his mind. Take a step back. Put yourself in his position. You've got a court hearing tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's a bank holiday. Tuesday. You've got a court hearing on Tuesday. And your son's in the dock. And as you're approaching court, all the cameras are on you. Why? That's the father of the criminal, isn't it? Didn't bring up his children properly. And Jacob's life seems to be characterized by one incident after another. He's either running away from his brother. He thinks he's getting married to one woman. He wakes up the following morning, he's lying next to her sister. He thinks, what? Well, how did this happen? Then he has to work for another 7 years to get married to the woman he really loves. And then he's married to one woman, looking over his shoulder, dating another 7 years. All this confusion going on. Then he's being cheated by his father-in-law in terms of his wages. Then he decides to run away from his father-in-law. Then his beloved wife, Rachel, dies. Then his daughter gets raped. Then his sons are committing murder. And yet, this is somebody who has had an encounter with God. And God has said, Jacob, listen, I will be with you. It's like saying, I will be with you when the doctors say that you have cancer. It's like God says that, listen, when the doctors say that it is terminal, I am with you. It is when your wife comes home and says, I want a divorce, or vice versa. Your husband comes home and says, I want a divorce. And God is saying that, look, in the midst of all the chaos and the confusion and the drama of life and its vicissitudes, I am with you. And I know where you are, Jacob. You might not see me, but I see you. I see your going out and I see your coming in. I see your uprising and I see when you are at the end of your tether. I see you in places of strength and I see you in places of weakness. And it's in those moments of weakness that I send my angels to support and to carry you along. A man in the jungle of life, with all its chaos and confusion and uncertainty. Confused, frightened, and not having many of the support structures that he needed. An easy prey for the wiles of the devil. A man who, on several occasions, had made many mistakes. I love that song that we sang this morning. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives. I was reading some statistics about the rates of suicide in our society. And I was alarmed at the number of men and women who take their lives every day. Every day. Frightening numbers. The fears of today, the worries of tomorrow, the burdens of life, weighing down on men and women, crippling them, driving them to points of despair. No other name like the name of Jesus. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. And the Bible says that God very calmly says to him, arise, look, go to Bethel. And Jacob must be thinking, what? We're facing a murder trial. And God says, I know. God says, I know. As you enter into the coming week, as you enter into the coming month, as you think about all the challenges of life, the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, I believe God is asking me to tell you that as he was with Jacob, so he is with you. As he was with Jacob, and as he carried Jacob in those moments of madness, in those times of uncertainty, in those places of uncertainty, where Jacob is looking behind his back, he's being pursued by Laban, he's being pursued by somebody. There's always an element of fear in Jacob's life. But God says, Jacob, I am with you. And so please, as I come to the end of this message, God wants you to be encouraged. God wants you to understand that there is no circumstance, no situation that comes your way which necessarily takes him by surprise. He's seen it all before, and he knows how to handle it. Not only does he know how to handle it, but he knows how to see you through it. That most challenging circumstance, that confusing situation, that thing which was sent to cripple you, God says, I will see you through it. Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23, a psalm of David. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. He says that I have been young and am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. And that God who David spoke about as never forsaking the righteous, that same God will order your steps, and he will not forsake you. Shall we pray? Hallelujah. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Fear is gone, because I know he holds the future. A life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is is come, because I know he holds the future. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And Father, I pray for your people, for any that might be going through challenging circumstances, those who might be going through confusing circumstances, those who may be facing crisis this morning. Father, I pray that as you were with Jacob, and as you told him that you would be with him wherever he went, and that you would bring him back in peace, so, Father, I pray that your peace, which passes all human understanding, will be your people's portion this morning. And, Father, when it is all said and done, we will be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Please.